Welcome to today's service. Thank you for coming along and joining in. As we begin the service this morning, shall we open with a word of prayer? Let us pray as we begin the service. Our Heavenly Father, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. As we begin the service today, Lord, we ask you that with your grace and with your mercy, Lord, you lead us through the service. Let it be a blessing. Let this time be a special time for each one of us as individuals, as a church, Lord, and for whoever accesses this service at a later date, the recorded service. We ask you for your grace. We ask you for your mercy. Give us, Lord, the understanding to do that which is your will and to say that which is your will. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 As I say, thank you so much for coming along. We are doing this service remotely. I'm here at church. We've got other people participating, but they're participating from home. So when people come in and participate in the service, it will be remotely joining in. So do forgive us if ever there is any glitches, maybe on the volumes or speed of connecting and so on. We're using online. So bear with us as we do that, as we continue with the service. And a very big thank you for those who are participating today, and the technical side of things, putting things together, and a lot of preparation goes into these things. Thank you so much for putting in the effort. And we're going to go to our first song, and when we finish that first song, Pam is going to come in and give us the notices. So our first song is "You Are the King of Glory," which Helen recorded for us for the church, for us to worship together. "You Are the King of Glory." And when we finish "You Are the King of Glory," Pam comes on and gives us the notices.
Preparing a Christmas video this year instead of our usual carol service. And I wondered if anyone would like to join in with that by doing a video of a reading. it would involve filming yourself on a phone or getting someone to phone video you. If you only want a short reading, we can split up the readings, but could you let me know as soon as possible? Just a reminder about the reverse Advent calendar. It's just a lovely opportunity to help out with some food for the needy. If you've got any queries, can you get in touch with Sue or Maureen? On Wednesday at 7:30, our prayer meeting, let's continue to do this. It's just a wonderful opportunity to get together, even though we're apart, and to just reach out to God in these times. The first fellowship prayer list went out this week, and it will be going out each Thursday. If you could let me know by Thursday morning if you've got anything that you'd like to add to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the notices, Pam, and the song we just had, Meekness and Majesty. Helen has given us that song. Again, thank you, Helen, for that song. Shall we take some time to pray at the moment? And there are so many prayer items that we received, as Pam has said, in addition to those that have come through. Particularly this morning, I have in my heart the over 50s lunch. You know, we often have here at church under normal circumstances, under normal circumstances without the lockdown and all the current situation. We often have over 50s lunch that we have here in the church every month. And we haven't been able to meet up, and we haven't been able to host that lunch, but we really want to pray that God continues to minister to those people who often come over. We have quite a good number of people who often come over for that lunch and have a good time together. And so we want to pray, and we want to pray together that God ministers to those people. It's quite a special time to come and meet other people, but with the lockdown, we are not able to meet. But also, as we prepare for Christmas time, we often have a good Christmas lunch as the over 50s lunch. And so we want to pray. We want to pray and ask God to minister to those people wherever they are, in our homes, wherever we are sort of locked down in, that God touches us and ministers to us. But also to pray for our country, to pray for our church, to pray for our local community, particularly with the current lockdown situation. And so I'm going to ask us to take a moment to pray where you are. We are praying together as a church, even if you are at home, but we know that we are together in spirit. So let's pray together as a church. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that wherever we are and whatever we're going through, you are aware of it and you are caring for us even through this difficult situation. Lord God, we ask you that for those who often come over to the over 50s lunch, you minister to them even while we are separate from one another. We are not meeting as we often did and fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company. Lord, we ask you that let us feel your company. Let us feel your comfort. Let us feel your presence. Let us know your presence. Let us experience your presence. Lord, we pray for our country and the world at large in this situation of the pandemic. We ask you for your grace. We ask you for your mercy. We ask you for your visitation, that in a special way you minister and you change the situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, Maureen is going to give us a reading today. And when Maureen finishes the reading, we have a song, "When I Look Into Your Holiness." So Maureen will give us a reading, and then we go to "When I Look Into Your Holiness" before we share the word of God. Over to you, Maureen.
The reading today is from Luke 9, verses 10 to 17. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go to buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50 each." Disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Amen.
Thank you, Maureen, for the reading. And that song there we were given by, we were blessed by Hendon Baptist Church, our sister church in Hendon. Hendon Baptist Church, they allowed us to use their song. Thank you so much, Hendon Baptist Church. And you know, their minister, Errol, is a good friend of this church as well. He was a minister right here at this church, and we often invite him to come and minister to us, and he's really a blessing to this church. So thank you so much, Hendon Baptist, for giving us that song. We now come to sharing the word, and as we read Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17, is going to be our main reading. But I'm going to ask us to check out our Bibles and let us read a few scriptures. We are concluding a series today. We have been working through a reflecting on Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. So if you take out your Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, this is where we have been reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So we've been picking each of those aspects. Often we've been picking two per week, and the two that we are left with of those characteristics there under the fruit of the Spirit, which we are covering today, are goodness and gentleness. Goodness and gentleness as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, these two aspects, these two qualities are so closely related, in fact, that they overlap. Goodness and gentleness. Some translations will say meekness and temperance. Being meek and being temperate. Goodness and gentleness. Gentleness. They overlap. And not only do they overlap with one another, but they overlap with all the other aspects that are mentioned there. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these seem to be linked together. In fact, if you look at verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it's singular. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. In the sense that all these qualities are qualities of one fruit. When we produce these qualities, it's not as though I'm required to produce one fruit and the other, but I can pass on another. But rather, it's all these combined, they make us the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit in us produces all these fruit aspects, all these qualities, all these characteristics coming together. So we are talking about goodness. We are reflecting on goodness and gentleness today. Interesting thing about goodness is that right from Genesis chapter 1, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, at creation, Genesis chapter 1, at creation, whenever God has created each of the elements that he creates, the phrase God saw that it was good appears about seven times right through the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 4 says, God saw that the light was good. And then if you go down to verse 10, it concludes, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12 concludes, and God saw that it was good. Verse 18 concludes, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God saw that it was good. Now, interestingly, in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, God saw that he had, saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Not only was it good, but God saw that it was very good, all that he had created. So creation, one aspect that God saw, that God put inside creation, was this aspect of goodness. Creation was good. God made everything. He made it good. Scripture says God makes everything good in its time. So everything that God makes is good. And God created all creation, including you and I. And God saw the goodness in them. Now, the aspect of being good seems something of the fulfillment of purpose or the fulfillment of expectation. If we say, I've got a good car, or that is a good car, or or a good thing, we mean that it does, as we say, it does what it says on the tin. It does what we expect of it. It does what is required of it. It fulfills its purpose. It fulfills what we expect of it to do. A good car is a car that will be reliable, is a car that will drive well, is a car that will do what we ask, we want of it to do, what we expect of it. When we say a sports person is a good sports person, a good diver, a good swimmer, a good footballer, a good netballer, a good person in that sport is a person that does it well, who does what they are required to do, and they do it well. A good musician will be somebody who plays the notes and plays the keys and plays the song and does their music well, is doing it as it's supposed to be done, doing it as it's expected to be done. I've got to, someone says they, a good shoe, a good equipment, a good piece of equipment. So the aspect of being good speaks to being able to do, being performing a task as is expected or as is required. It also talks into the morality and the integrity of a person. When we say a good person, we're talking about someone with integrity, someone who has a good heart, someone with a heart that is upright, an upright person, an upright heart. It, being good also speaks about something to the benefit of others, where others will benefit from it. Not good for self, not good for me, but my being good will be where others will benefit from it. Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph is talking to his brothers and he is forgiving them, he says to them in verse 20 that what they did to him, they intended for bad, but God intended for good so that he will preserve more people, so that he will preserve his people. So being good speaks to being able to be helpful and being beneficial to others. My goodness is not meant to benefit me, but it's what they call for the greater good, for the good of others, for the good of more than myself, where I'm not self-serving, but I'm serving others. That is the goodness of God. And this is contrasted with in Genesis chapter 2. It says in Genesis chapter 2 that God put a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So good is contrasted with evil. Good is contrasted with that which is against God, that which is not to the, that which does not add to what God wants to do, that which does not line up with the purpose of God, that which does not line up to the will of God. So goodness is about meeting the purpose of God, serving others, and doing for the good of other people, benefiting other people in a moral and upright way. And as believers, God calls us to stand up for morality in society, to champion morality, to champion ethics in society, to be the voice of that which is good for other people, where we are not serving ourselves, where we are serving not even the good of those who agree with us, but those who don't agree with us, even non-believers I'm talking about, those who don't believe as we do. But we are called upon by God to serve their good as well, to do what's good by them, to do that which is intrinsically good in itself for them. Because we are not self-serving, but we are serving. And when we do so, this is how we are serving God. We are serving God in this manner. And goodness is a character of God. In Exodus chapter 33, when Moses said to God, "Show me your face. I want to see you." God said, "You will not see my face, but I will hide you in the cleft of a rock. And when I pass by, my goodness will pass by. My goodness will pass by. will be and my name will be proclaimed. Throughout scripture, from Genesis right through to the New Testament, the character of God, the nature of God, and even the name of God is associated with goodness. I'm reminded of Psalms chapter 23, where the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me throughout the days of my life. Surely goodness and gentleness shall follow me through the days of my life. And now if we come to our main text for today, which is Luke chapter 9, where Maureen has kindly read for us. This is the story where Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And they say 5,000, well, it was approximately 15,000 really in number, because the way they counted there, if you look at how Mark and Matthew recorded, they recorded as 5,000 men. And you would assume probably there was three times that number. From verse 10, Luke chapter 9, verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus that what they had done. Where were they returning from? Previous, leading up to this passage, Jesus has sent the apostles out. He has sent the 12, sent them out into the cities, sent them out into the country and everywhere, and gave them instructions to proclaim the kingdom. And when they came, they were so excited. They returned and they reported to Jesus what they had done. They reported to Jesus the good works and the mighty works that they had done and that they had performed. But look at what Jesus does. While they are celebrating their works, what they have done, they are looking at the good things they have done, the big and mighty things, the proclamations, the deliverance, people who were demonic, who were delivered from there and so on, the great works they have done. Jesus pulls them aside. It says, then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. So Jesus seems not to be impressed by the big works or the great works that they had done. He had instructed them to do this, and he was certainly pleased and happy that they had done this, but it wasn't the end of the story. As though Jesus is saying to them, as much as it is okay to do the big works you have done, as much as it is okay to perform these things you have done, because it says they reported what they had done. They were somewhat inward looking in a way. They were looking at their own performance, at their own actions, and they were seeing how great, how wonderful we've done. Jesus pulls them aside for a time of reflection, for a moment of reflection. You notice that when Jesus did his works, we read a lot about Jesus withdrawing to moments of reflection and prayer, where he's not going to be looking at himself as the performer of these great works, but really reflecting and seeing that not I, but God. It is not you that did these great works, but it was God. You withdraw to that moment of reflection to say these great works were done. Whatever good job I do, whatever good works I do, to draw back and say, God, it's not me. It's all about you. It is the nature of God in us. It is the spirit of God in us that brings these good works that we do. It says Jesus pulled them aside. He withdrew with them to the town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about him and followed him. He welcomed them. Now here is a characteristic of goodness that Jesus is showing right there. While the crowds come to him, 15,000 of them, they come to him while he's with his disciples, while he is with the 12. It says Jesus welcomed them. Jesus welcomed them. Here is the goodness of God, the goodness that welcomes. And you see, these people were particularly not invited. It's not as though Jesus sent his disciples to come and invite, but they came of their own volition. They came of their own choice. It says, when they learned that Jesus was where he was at this point, they decided to go to him, and Jesus welcomed them. This is the quality of goodness and the gentleness of Jesus, that he welcomed those who came to him. And I pray that this becomes part of the fruit that we produce as believers. People that are welcoming. To be people that are welcoming. To be welcoming of others. To be welcoming of those who are in need. To recognize those who are in need and welcome them. To have an open heart, a heart that welcomes. That as a church, we become a church that welcomes. We are not a church that excludes, that shuns people away, but a church that welcomes, a body that's welcoming. It says that Jesus welcomed them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He not only welcomed them, but he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Not only are we welcoming, but we are welcoming for the sake of the kingdom of God. To speak about the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's difficult to introduce the message of the kingdom of God. But when opportunities arise, the goodness of God is not about doing good in itself, but doing so for the sake of God, for the sake of the kingdom of God, displaying the kingdom of God by doing so. It says that Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. He did good works. And so when we do good for the kingdom of God, it's not enough to speak about the kingdom of God. There is good works to be done. There is charitable works to be done. Reaching out to those who are in need and serving those who are in need and meeting them at their point of need. As we say, you never know the miracle that someone is looking for. You never know the miracle that someone is praying for. A good work that you may consider a small thing, that you may consider as a small work, it may well be a miracle that someone else is looking for. It may well be a miracle that someone else has been praying for a long time. It may be a good word, a good phone call, a good word that you say to somebody. Giving someone something. Pam was reminding us earlier in the service about the reverse Advent calendar. When we do good, when we give to others, Christmas time is coming. There are some people who are going to be alone, some people who are going to be lonely. They have no one to talk to, no family, nobody to support them. When you do that good work, when you do that good act, that good action in the name of Christ, you are doing it for the kingdom of God. Verse 12 says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowds away so that they can go around the villages and countryside and find food, lodging, because we are in a remote place. But Jesus replies, you give them something to eat. Now here is the goodness of Christ again revealed. Not only is he welcoming, not only is he talking about the kingdom of God, not only is he doing the works, the good works, it said he healed those who were diseased. But Jesus says to the 12, you give them something to eat. Not only is God doing the good works, but he goes on to instruct his disciples. He goes on to instruct his followers. He goes on to instruct, we may say, you and I. He says, you give them something to eat. Well, as believers, sometimes we are tempted to say, go well, I pray for you, God bless you, and off you go. You know, when you find someone in a practical, real, practical need, it's not enough to say, go well and have a good day. May God bless you. But Jesus says, give them something to eat. Do a practical work. Do something practical to show the goodness of God. Do something with your faith, because faith without works is dead. Without working out that faith, showing that you have the faith, showing that you have the trust in God by a practical work. Jesus says, manifest your belief, manifest the goodness of God. He said, give them something to eat. The 12 answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Unless we go into the town and buy so much food, they will not have something to eat. Then Jesus asked them to bring that food, those 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes. In verse 16, it says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke it. Then he gave to the disciples to distribute. Everyone ate, and they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 leftover baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Now, I want us to notice here that Jesus does the miracle. He breaks the bread, he breaks the fish, he prays and thanks God, he blesses God, it's multiplied. And once it's multiplied, he gives it to the disciples to distribute to people. You and I, we are the hand of God. Jesus did not take the food and go and distribute it himself. He did the multiplication miracle, and then he handed it over to the 12 for them to do the practical distribution, the practical handing over that food to people who were in need. You and I, we are the hand of God. We are the hands of God. We are the feet of God. We are the ones who are going to walk where God wants us to go. God is doing what he's doing in this society, in our community, in our surrounding, in our families. God is using you and I. This is the goodness of God that bubbles through us, that's evident through us. He does the miracle. He does the provision. And then he gives it over to the disciples for them to distribute. As a body of Christ, we need to be reminded, we need to remember and to keep in mind the fact that we are the hand of God. Jesus may do the miracle. He may multiply the bread. He may multiply the resources, and he may multiply the knowledge. He may multiply so much, but he gives it to us for us to distribute. I'm reminded about the scripture that says, what I have, I give. What I have, I give. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give. We give what we've got. Whatever God has put in our hands, God has put us as stewards so that we distribute. We become a blessing. It may not be material things, as we say. It may be supporting somebody in their time of need. It may be supporting somebody in a way that is not material, but in a way that meets their need. God has given us that ability. He has given us that responsibility to meet at the point of need. Scripture has Scripture reflects and refers to us human beings and believers in particular as trees that bear fruit. And as we conclude this series on the fruit of the Spirit, I invite us to reflect on the idea of believers, on the idea that people are referred to in Scripture as trees that bear fruit. Remember in Psalm chapter 1, where it says in verse 3 that the believer is like a tree that is planted by waters, whose leaves will not wither, and who bears fruit in season. Scripture refers to us as trees that bear fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. Let's go to that scripture. We still have Bibles in our hands, don't we? Let's go to that scripture, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. From verse 1, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word of God spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There is another reference to the believer, to the Christian being a tree, to us being branches of a vine, an analogy of a tree that bears fruit. And so when the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on, he's again drawing on that analogy of being a tree that bears fruit. And I want us to keep in mind three things about the tree bearing fruit. Number one, that a fruit is an outward working of the nature of the tree. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. In other words, the tree bears after its own kind. And therefore, when the fruit of the Spirit is required of us, it's an expression of the nature of God in us. It's an outworking of what is in us. And therefore, the effort is not only for us to do the right thing, but is to have in us the will to do the right thing. The desire which only comes from God. Because the goodness of God is not only about doing the good thing, it's about having the good heart to do the good thing. So it's the outward working of what's the inside. The goodness of God and the gentleness of God, the fruit of the Spirit as a whole, to be from the inside of us so that it works outside. You shall know them by their fruit. And number two, a fruit is a result of progressive growth. A fruit is a result of progressive growth. A fruit is a result of growth. And so when we grow in our faith, when we grow in our walk with the Lord, we produce more fruit. As it says in John chapter 15, that as we abide, it uses the word abide there, as we abide in Christ, more of Christ is produced in us. More of Christ in us is produced in our outward working, which is the fruit of Christ in us, which is the fruit of God. So the fruit is produced the more we remain in Christ. He says, remain in me and you will produce more fruit. You will bear more fruit. As we progressively grow in the Lord, as we grow in faith, how do we grow in faith? By remaining in Christ, by remaining in God, holding on to our faith. By so doing, we are growing. We are growing in prayer. We are growing in scripture reading. We are growing in sharing with other people our faith. We are growing in Christ. The nature of Christ is growing in us. And we are producing more fruit. And the third thing is that the fruit is often for the benefit of others. When a tree bears fruit, a tree is bearing fruit, often the fruit is enjoyed by others. The fruit of a tree is often enjoyed by others. Could it be birds or animals or people and so on? But the fruit of the tree is often enjoyed by others. How God puts in us so many blessings, so that those blessings are enjoyed by others. Doing good things for the benefit of others. He said in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. Then he says, when your light so shines, it shines so that others will see your good works and they will glorify your Father in heaven. So fruit is enjoyed by others, and fruit is also for propagation. Fruit is also for propagation, for reproduction. So the fruit that we produce is enjoyed by others, benefit of others, and in the process, it benefits the kingdom of God. It reproduces the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God grows, and it benefits from the fruit of the Spirit that is in us. I'll close with a poem that we used to recite in primary school. I'm sure some of you will know it. A poem by Saint Jerome from the 4th, 5th century, a saint in the 4th and 5th century, which said, good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. As we prepare to come to our closing song, which is Before the Throne of God Above, let's remember that the fruit of the Spirit is an outward working for the Holy Spirit in us. It's a result of progressive growth, that we progressively grow to producing that fruit. It's for the benefit of others and for the growth of the kingdom of God. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till the good is better and the better best. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We now come to our closing song, which is Before the Throne of God Above. Thank you so much. As we come to the close of our service, thank you so much for everyone who's logged in and is participating in this service live. Thank you so much. Please do remember that we record the service and it will be available in the church website. And thank you also to everybody who's participated. And I invite again everybody who, you know, we're still inviting everyone to come along. And as long as you have the internet, as long as you have a smartphone, a computer, we'll be able to join in and you can contribute into the service. Maybe be it a prayer or a reading, or you want to request a reading of a scripture, you could read it yourself, or you could ask someone else to read it for you. We can read it together. So if you have a song that you want to request or anything along those lines as a body, let's remember to do that. Let's remember to bring those forward and fellowship and be a blessing to each other. Don't forget also Wednesday 7:30, we got prayer time. I am available on Wednesday evenings for the prayer time. So please do feel free to call me or to contact me if you want me to pray with you. I'm there on Wednesdays. And then on Thursdays and Fridays, I'm available for church work. I'm doing church work for Wednesdays and Thursdays as well as Sundays. So do feel free to contact myself as well for anything that you may wish to contact for. And see you next Sunday online as we are doing. And thank you so much. Shall we close with a word of prayer as we close this service? Father God, thank you that you have brought us through this service. Lord, we ask you that you produce the fruit of the Spirit. You enable us to produce that fruit of the Spirit through us. Be the strength, be the goodness, be the love, be the faithfulness, Lord. Be the gentleness, the self-control, and the peace. Be all that the Holy Spirit puts in us and produces through us. Pray, Lord, that through this week, each one of us will know your presence. You will guide us and you will lead us into all those things that you want to guide and lead us through. Let us hear your voice and let us know and experience your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Our service closes and see you next week. Same time, same place. Thank you.